there are so many different groups fighting in Syria that it's tough to know who's fighting whom. And when the battle goes online, it's even more confusing. Now, many of the tools used in that cyber battle may be new, but some hacking strategies are definitely old school. David Sanger is a New York Times national security correspondent. He told me how a security firm called FireEye went looking for the origins of a computer virus and wound up discovering how hackers, loyal to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, managed to infiltrate the accounts of rebel leaders.
And as they traced the viruses back, they discovered that they were embedded in the photographs of young women. These photographs were just pulled off the internet and used in either Facebook or Skype chats between the opposition leaders and people who the opposition fighters thought were young women. It turns out, of course, it was Assad's hacking forces.
Right. Well, I mean, that kind of strategy is as old as a hill. So if it was likely pro-Assad Syrians, you're saying that these hackers basically honeypotted rebels in the field who...
That's it.
They digitized.
I mean, the rebels are mid-20s, mostly guys who have been, you know, out in the field for some time, and you probably figure it wasn't that hard.
And they honeypotted them. They went after them because all of their top secret orders, battle plans, they were loaded up on their mobile phones, right?
That's right. They were on their mobile phones and they were on their laptops. And it tells you that, you know, the more that this kind of information gets decentralized, moves onto mobile platforms, the more it's also vulnerable.
Do we know how good both sides are at doing this? I mean, how effective has this war been?
Well, we know that the NSA is pretty good. I mean, Stuxnet Olympic Games, which I wrote about a few years ago, which was the American attacks on the Iranian nuclear sites, the cyber attacks on those sites, was probably the most sophisticated, damaging kind of cyber attack that we've ever seen. Then, you know, moving down the line comes things like you saw with Sony and North Korea, if you believe it was the North Koreans who did it. And that was also a destructive attack. What was happening to the Syrian opposition fighters here, it was something more along the lines of espionage. In other words, that those who fell for this honeypot attack were basically just dumping the contents of their material unknowingly into the hands of the Syrian leadership. That's different than a kind of attack that is meant to disable your computers.
So if we go with the premise that the hackers are likely pro-Assad Syrians, where are they based and who are they?
Well, we know a lot more about the where than we know about the who. It looks from the IP addresses and from some other evidence as if they're probably in Lebanon, though they were using servers that were located in Germany, and they had bought some access onto these servers. The who is a mystery.
No idea at all.
Ideas, but no evidence.
Right. Would you go so far as to say, David, that cyber warfare has been more effective in the battle in Syria than chemical weapons, barrel bombs, snipers, all the other terrible things that we've seen?
I raise the question in the story, and the reason I raise the question is this: that what you don't know in a case like a cyber attack like this is what action that the opposition was going to launch that basically got neutered. In other words, if they were planning to take a major site, a city, a piece of territory, and because of these cyber attacks, the government had early warning and could cut it off, sort of, you know, what happened when Britain, you know, broke the Enigma codes, right? And they could see attacks that were coming.
In World War II, yeah.
If that's the case, then they could have been very effective in holding territory that the government might otherwise have lost. But those are hard to measure because you're trying to look not only at the battle that happened, but the one that would have happened and didn't.
David Sanger of the New York Times there.